take a seat there as you're standing. Many of you are still standing, and just join those who are already seated. As this morning, I'd like to ask you to turn in God's Word to Isaiah chapter 59. We're literally going to turn the lights back on so that you can make your way to Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. As you're turning to Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1, I want to again remind you that I'm going to talk for just the next several moments about the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord is powerful in our lives. And I like to think about the fact that when we come to the house of the Lord on Sunday, we're always sure to find not just His heart, but His helping hand. Now, as you're turning to Isaiah chapter 59, it's important to keep in mind that the writer of this book is a prophet. His name is Isaiah. That name Isaiah has a powerful meaning to it. And in the meaning of his name, we find out a lot about the Lord. He says, or the meaning of his name says, that Yahweh is salvation, or the Lord is our Savior. Now, this prophet Isaiah knew not just the heart of the Lord, but he knew the hand of the Lord. And he, as a prophet, functioned during the most crucial period in the history of Judah and of Israel. And it's in Isaiah, the 58th chapter, before you get to this first verse of Isaiah 59, that we find him speaking of the importance of repentance in the role of being restored. Repentance is key because this morning, each of us are going to be given an invitation. Each of us are being invited to dinner. No, I'm not talking about to Carrabba's after the service, or to Outback, or to Chabuka's, or to Chick-fil-A. I think they knew what they were doing when they said it would be closed on Sunday. Yes, I know they're believers. But how many of you have found that in your day and in your week, the time that you crave Chick-fil-A the most is on Sunday? I've been tempted to open it for them on Sunday, but it's here in this 58th chapter that this prophet is speaking, and he's talking about repentance. And repentance is something that's so crucial in our lives. There are things that life takes from us. There are things that the enemies in life steal from us. And it's necessary for us at time to be invited to the Lord's dinner table, to the supper of the Lord. That's what happens when you and I partake of communion. We literally get to sit at the table of the Lord. It's there that Scripture commands us to remember the Lord by partaking at that table of the Lord of the juice and of the bread, which is symbolic of His blood and His body. It's there that you and I find a place of repentance. You see, each of us have struggled with things this week. These things have got in the way of our faith, and they've interrupted our relationship with the Lord. And it's necessary that we pause and sit at the table and make things right with God in our heart so that we can see the power of God and His hand. And so for the entire 58th chapter, he's talking about how crucial repentance is, how crucial in our everyday lives repentance is, and how it returns to us the things that life and the things that the enemies in life take from us. And so he set the scene for the first verse in Isaiah chapter 59. Verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not short, or it's not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your sin or your iniquities, they've separated you from the Lord." This morning, in just a moment, you're going to hold the juice and you're going to hold the bread. And whatever things that you hold in your heart that have separated you from the Lord, this is your opportunity to remember them and to confess them to the Lord so that your relationship with God is no longer separated by the sin and the iniquity in your heart. You see, as I stand here today, I not only see dead people, but I see sin-filled people. Look around and see if you see the same thing. I've often heard that what you see in the life of others is just a mirror and a reflection of what's really at work in yours. And so as I look around, I see overcomers. I see conquerors. I see beautiful people. I see people that are in tip-top physical shape. I see strength. I see power. I see courage. I guess that must be a reflection of my heart. You see, many times you and I see things that separate us. And we need a way to get back into unity and union with God. We need a place. We need a time. We need something that says you no longer have to live separated from God. We need something that says to us, when you remember this, when you do this, then the relationship with God is made one again, and it's restored. And that's what communion is about. Experiencing God's love in His heart for us, and then being equipped with God's power for us. And so he writes and he says, indeed, you've been separated. Judah and Israel, the nations, had been separated from God. But this prophet is calling them back to God. This prophet is saying, come back to God. Come back to being restored in your relationship with God. Because it's there that you will find a renewal, and not just a renewal, but a resource from God for your daily life. He finishes by writing in verse 2 that though your iniquities have separated you from God and your sins have hidden his face from you, you will not hear. You will not be able to hear the voice of the Lord. The longer that you run from God, the longer that you're separated from God, the more difficult it is to hear from God. Now, some of us are parenting children that are a little hard of hearing. It's selective in the sense that when they hear what they want to hear, suddenly, if ears could have 20/20 auditory hearing, they would have it. But have you noticed that there are certain things they don't want to hear? Like, pick up your room. Like, take out the trash. Like, rub your father's neck, thus saith the Lord. We're like that too. There are times in our walk with God that there are things that we want to hear. Our ears perk up when he says, you're about to have a breakthrough. Well, that's good, because most of us live in seasons of breakdown. And so when we hear the hope of something else and something more, guess what? Our ears, our faith, it perks up. But then there comes times that God speaks to us directly. He's not just saying that the church is going to take communion and have communion and get right with God. Have you noticed that sometimes it feels like the preacher's talking right at you? There's a lot of yous here this morning, and I'm not talking about lambs. Yous, lambs. Sometimes I have to work a little bit harder. But it's worth it in the end. There's a lot of people today that the Lord has spotlighted, and he's saying to you, I want more than anything else for you to experience what's in my heart first. But see, the natural tendency is to search for what is first in God's hands. We want the blessing without the condition. And so for each of us here today, God is inviting us to sit at the table of communion. We're going to bring the communion to you. In just a moment, you're going to hold juice in one hand. If you're a circus performer, it may be on your head. But you're going to hold juice in one hand, which is symbolic of his blood that was shed for your sins, that was poured out for your healing. And you're going to hold bread in his other hand, which is symbolic of his body that went to the cross for your sins. And in that, as you hold that and you remember that, he's going to speak to you about some things in your life, some things in your heart that are not right with him. He's going to call you on the carpet. He's going to speak to you about some things he wants to carry. I love communion as a child because this was that moment I could finally get right with God. You see, as a young child and as a young believer, I put so much of my worth with God and my relationship with God into what I did right. And whenever I would start doing things wrong, whenever I would indeed sin and fall short of the glory of God, after a while it was an avalanche. One thing led to another, and after a while there was no hope for me. And I would just get cold towards the Lord because I saw no hope for getting things right. And I would go to church week after week, and I would be like some of you, miserable. They would praise and they would worship and they would have joy, but I would be miserable because I wasn't right in my heart towards God. And the reason I stayed not right with God was because I felt like God could not forgive me of that sin again and again and again. So I felt like I had to carry it. I felt like I had to get better before God could forgive me. Now, you've probably never had that struggle, but in my early days of faith, I had that struggle. And I'll tell you, there's not a weight in life heavier than the wages of your sin, than what Scripture calls iniquity. You'll carry what you're doing wrong, and it'll get heavier and heavier and heavier. First, it starts out with just feeling bad about it, feeling convicted over it, knowing that was not the right thing to do. Then the longer you don't repent, the longer you don't make things right with God, then the weight of condemnation and shame and failure and fear and embarrassment become weights that you have to carry. Every one of us today have carried some weights in here to the table of the Lord. And God is saying to each of us, I went to the cross to carry those weights for you. And not just to carry those weights, but for you to remember me, to confess your sin, and to confess me as your Savior. So that not only would I take those weights off of your shoulder and out of your heart, but I would remove the wages of that sin, which is eternal death. So see, today God is inviting each of us to bring what's in our heart so that each of us might experience what's in His. I want you to ask three people around you, what's in your wallet? Or in the context of this morning's teaching and His Word, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? So He's written and He said, whatever's there, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save. That His ears have not turned away from you so that He cannot hear, but His ears have turned towards you so that you might speak and be heard. God's doing this right now. He knows the thing in your heart that is a weight. He knows the thing in your heart that is a sin. He knows the thing in your heart that Scripture calls an iniquity. The thing that separates you from Him. And yet, though He's been separated by your poor choices, by your choices to live a sinful life, He's still close. He's still waiting. And He's still wanting to hear you ask for help for the things in your heart. There's another man, just like Isaiah, his name was David, that knew the hand and the heart of God. It's not enough to know just His hand. God wants you to know His heart. He writes this 18th Psalm on a day in his life that he was delivered from the hand of all of his enemies and from a family member trying to kill him. You thought it was just your family that's trying to get you. His family was trying to get him. So out of that experience, out of that painful experience that he had just walked through, he looks back. He looks back at his pain. He looks back at the weights that he had to carry. He looks back, and in victory, he writes this that he learned about God. And he writes it so that you and I can look at whatever weighty things we've carried in our heart and our hands. And he's written it so you and I can better understand where God is when we're having to carry stuff. He writes and he says, Lord, you gave me your shield of victory. You gave me your right hand to sustain me. Your right hand supported me. Your right hand held me up. You bent over. You stooped down to make me great. He's looking back on that thing that was weighing heavily on his heart and was weight in his hands. And he looks back and he said, man, when I was struggling, when I was down, when I was out, when the enemy had left me to be defeated, then the Lord bent over when I called his name, when I repented, when I made things right in my heart towards God. I heard from God's heart and I saw God's hand and he bent over and he made me great. Then Scripture finishes by saying that God broadened. He enlarged the path beneath me so that my ankles did not turn. Man, God is for you and not against you. In Psalms 31, he's going through another difficult time in his life. And how many of you know that sometimes there's more than one difficulty in life? Now, even though you've been married to that difficulty for 25 years, Scripture has help for you. You're laughing. And you two are laughing a lot. So Psalms 31, though, gives us a picture to hang on to. It gives us, again, his hand. That's what I want you to understand about the Lord. Not only is his heart for you, but his hand is with you. Sometimes it's behind you and it's holding you up. And sometimes he'll say, hey, he's gained a little weight. It took my right hand before, now it's going to take my left hand. So, sometimes that hand goes before us. And with his own hands, he clears out the path in front of us so we won't fail, so we won't fall, because he sees the obstacles and he knows this is too narrow of a place. If Greg goes at this alone, he's going to be in trouble, so he's going to need a little help. I'm going to carve out a little space on the path so that he'll know I have never left him, I have never forsaken him, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knows that sometimes you're going the wrong way on a one-way street, so God will end up putting another path right there beside it and turning it into a two-lane so that you can put on the left blinker and get out of the slow lane, get into the passing lane, and begin to pass up sickness. Excuse me, sickness. I'm going to have to put the pedal to the metal. I'm about to pass you up. And the devil looks at you and says, but this is a one-way highway. And you're like, God made a way where there was no way. Excuse me, disease, I got to pass you up. Excuse me, long sermon, I got to pass you up. The Lord says, oh, slow down. Wait on the Lord. Never knew the Lord kind of sounded like Mr. Ed. So, Psalms 31. You hurt me when you laugh at me this way. I'm putting my whole heart into this message. Gives a picture of a man, the soul of a man, who in tough times, in times that are filled with tears, you and I can relate to that. David writes about a time in his life, and he shows us his soul, and how his soul trusted in the Lord, and how the Lord took him through the valley of tears, took him through the valley of turmoil, and has brought him into a triumphant place. And from that looking back and seeing what God did, this is what he writes. He says, my times are in your hand. That's what the Lord wants to do today. He wants to give you what's in his hands. And in order for you to take a hold of that, you have to let go of what's in yours. And so often church people carry their times in their hands. And sometimes trying to make sense of the time and the season you're in is difficult. And that trying to make sense of where God is in the time gets very heavy and very weighty. And we become very discouraged because what we're believing in the spirit, hasn't come to pass yet in the natural. Well, if I'm helping you this morning, say amen. Amen. If I'm hurting you this morning, please report to the exit right now. See, he says, my times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. He knew. David and the prophet Isaiah both knew that as we first seek to know God's heart, then we will have the privilege of seeing and knowing what's in God's hands. You see, today is twofold for you. God, in just a moment, is going to put his heart through these communion elements in your hands. He's going to put them there. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. And you're not sure whether or not you should take these and put these in your hands. The Lord says this is that moment in his word. This is a visual of what salvation is. I'm going to put my heart in your hands. And I know exactly the condition of your heart. The Roman writer Paul said that the wages of sin is death. That he gave his life, he gave his blood, he gave his body, he gave the elements of communion to us when we were dead in sin. So today, when these elements pass by, whether you've been a follower of Christ for years, or whether today will be the moment you start following him, I want to encourage each and every one of you to take God's heart out of these trays. I want you to take God's heart out of these trays. And I want you to hold God's heart in your hands. The writers, again, agreed that in order to really, truly see what's in God's hands, you must first make things right in your heart. Because it's almost impossible to separate God's hand from God's heart. When you find God's heart, you will find God's hand. And yet, as 21st century Christians, the age-old principle is still the same. God yearns to be known for more than what is just in his hand. God longs for you to take a hold of that which is in his heart. I finish my remarks from Isaiah. Isaiah began this by saying, "The Lord's hand is not too short that it cannot save, nor is his ear too heavy that it cannot hear." He said that your iniquities have separated you. And yet this morning, if you'll take what's in God's heart and put it in your hands and put it in your life, you will see God in the times and the seasons of your life. And then David picked up and said, you know, that was what I learned. When I took what was in God's heart and I put it in my hands and my life, his hand began to uphold me and support me. His hand began to make me great. He broadened the path beneath me, and he took my times, and in time with his hands, made all things well. And so Isaiah finishes this morning by saying this from chapter 64 and verse 8, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter, and all we are is the work of your hand." That means each and every one of us is the work of the Lord. And this morning, he's calling out and he's saying, "My hand and my heart is with you. If you need it to support you, save you, deliver you, heal you, sustain you, my hand is with you in whatever you walk through." And so I'm going to invite the ushers to come. And as they're coming, we're going to give an opportunity and an invitation for each and every one of you to sit at the table of the Lord and to take in your hands what's in the heart of God.
Down on my knees. If you'll just be faithful, one day you'll see the promised land. Now you know I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. Oh Lord, I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. You see those mountains, they're way too high, and those old valleys are too wide. Without you holding my hand, you see the mountains, aren't they too high? And those valleys, are they too high? And it's down on my knees, my Lord, I learned to stand, because I can't even walk without you holding my hand. You know it's down on your knees, that's where you learn to stand, because I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Not been served but would like to be, please raise your hands and we'll make sure that we bring you the symbol of God's heart and what's in His heart for you. I want to go back to a story that I began mid-sermon, because I talked in mid-sermon about being a new believer, a young man who over a period of time saw that his works did not line up with what God's desire for my life should be. And so I would at that time not take a hold of God's hand. And I would long for Communion Sunday because it seemed like there was a miracle on Communion Sunday that didn't take place any other day of the month but Communion Sunday. I just knew if the second coming of the Lord didn't come back and I had a chance to go to church on Communion Sunday, that in that day I would be able to take of His body and His blood and find salvation. And so I would look forward to that one day a month. Well, friend, this morning, God is saying that He's a whole lot more than just in one day a month. That He's the kind Lord that wants to give you a helping hand every day. For every sin, for every addiction, for every bondage, for every heartache, and for every heartbreak, He's reaching out His hand. And He longs for you and I to take what's in His heart each and every day and be reminded what's in His hand. As a child growing up, I want to rewind to that time in my life. Go with me. Because long before there was DVR, long before there was TiVo, long before there was a VCR, that you could fast forward past the commercials, you had to live that program for all 30 minutes. And back in the day, commercials were a lot of fun. They were clean. Now there's a thought. Some of us watch TV and we have to ask everybody to close their eyes and ears during the commercials, change the channel. But back in that day, there were some things that was created to help us. Oh, the first time I saw the commercial for the Chia Pet, I just had to have one. I felt like my life could not be complete unless I too had a Chia Pet. My mom would never let me call. There was no internet. You couldn't go down to Ben Franklin or Woolworths and get one. You had to order them online. And you needed a credit card for one of those. And at 9 and 10 years old, I didn't have one. So my life was lived with loss in the early years because I didn't have a Chia Pet. I think the closest thing I ever got to it was one time during the years that I wore my hair in the form of a mullet. Can I have an amen? That time could be coming back. That I had this idea from my mother-in-law to get my mullet permed. And not just in the back, but in the front and the top. And so the lady does my hair. She picks it out. My head is to the back of the mirror. She says, "Are you ready to see it?" I'm like, "Yes." She turns the chair around, and I have chia pet hair. It wasn't the same thing as having a chia pet. I had a chia pet growing on my head. Another one of those things that somebody created to help us was the clapper. Clap on. The clapper. And I remember the little older lady that right before she'd go to bed, she'd turn over and she'd go, and the lights would go off. My wife was wondering one day if that works with me. I don't know what she meant by that. I'm sure that was an encouraging word, though. Those were two of my top three, but maybe my favorite was the emergency response commercial. I've fallen and I can't get up. You see, that's the picture of communion that I want to give to each of your hearts. Not the little lady with the beeper around her neck. The picture that you're supposed to get is that the Bible says that all of us have fallen, and that we've fallen short of the glory of God, that each of us have sinned, each of us have iniquities, and that we've fallen, and without a Savior, we can't get up. And today the Lord's hand is walking, well, not his hand, the Lord is walking with his hand, and his heart is saying to each of you, I know that you've fallen. That's the given. I know in your life where you fall short. I know today the heartbreak in your life. And today my hand is here to help you when and where you've fallen and you can't get up. I want you to bow. Thank you very much. She said amen. That was good. Did you all want to say that too? Yeah. Just give you a little moment to say that. I can feel that in you. Amidst all the sin. What I'd like to do is with humor. I've talked about some real serious things, some real weighty things in your life. You know what they are, because what's happened in this service is the Lord's begun to speak to you. And the Lord's begun to talk to you very candidly about the things in your life that are not right. He's talked to you about attitudes and behaviors that you've been living out. He's talked to you about certain addictions that when the lights go off in your life and nobody's around to see you, that's the sin you reach for. He's talking about the things in your life that you hold on to that are worldly and carnal and fleshly, all terms for holding on to a life that doesn't please God. God knows exactly where you are. God knows if you're running from him this morning and you're here out of obligation. The Lord kind of set you up thinking you were here out of obligation, because this is his opportunity to reach out his hand and your opportunity to take it. I'm going to ask you to model something that I saw many times as a young child growing up. The pastors would ask us to close our eyes, to bow our heads, and to take about 60 seconds to let the Lord search our heart and to show us where we have sinned and fallen short of the glory. This is a time of most reverence in the church. There's not to be moving. There's not to be talking. There's not to be anything else but allowing the Holy Spirit to search our lives. And when the Holy Spirit begins to quicken something, when the Holy Spirit begins to say something, when God talks to you about some things that are not right in your attitudes, your behaviors, your beliefs, your actions, your lifestyle, this is that moment that holding his heart, you ask him to forgive you. So for the next 60 seconds, let this be a time of confessing your sin and asking him to forgive you and to be your Savior. Maybe you've never asked him to be your Savior before. Well, friend, let me encourage you to take this chance, to take a hold of his hand, and to just simply say, "Lord, forgive me. I have sinned and fallen short. Save me and become my Savior." In Jesus' name, amen. That was a powerful childhood memory of mine, taking personal responsibility for my sin and iniquity. That was a powerful life change for me, realizing that I was never intended to live life coming up short of God's glory, but that there would be moments in every day that I could take a quiet moment and ask God to forgive me of my sins. That's a good thing. And not only is it a good thing, it's God's thing. And now, see, you've got a chance for God to be a part of your things in your life. Now, what I remember as a child is the pastor would move. I was in a smaller church, but he would move and he would ask the left side, has each and every one of you made things right with God? It didn't matter where he stood or what group he was looking at. I always felt like he was looking at me. And boy, that's probably a good discipline to get in. But I want to ask each section, each row, and each person, have you taken time to get things right with God so that you can take communion and take it with a clean heart, take it with clean hands? I want to make sure that everybody's taken the discipline time to get things right in their heart with God, because you're holding God's heart in your hands. Let us never take this for granted. Never let us be disrespectful, but let us be a generation of believers who fear the Lord and reverence the remembrance of his body. In case you were wondering where to stick your amen in, right there. Let us be a reverent people. Let us fear the Lord and let us live our lives to honor and serve him. For I receive from the Lord, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, that's powerful. I received. That's cool. Every one of you should have had a chance to receive. Paul received. And so in this context of Scripture, he talks of how I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. And he's talking about how the Lord Jesus, on the very night he was betrayed at the cross, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Pastor Clint, would you stand and would you pray a prayer of thanksgiving over receiving this bread and its body that it's symbolic of? Let us remember the bread together and participate by partaking of it. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Tamara, Reverend Sword, would you just stand? Would you pray over the participation of us partaking of this juice, which is symbolic of his blood? Let us remember him. What a powerful memory. A memory that each of us can hold on, not just for today, but for the upcoming week. Our ushers are going to receive your cup, and so if you would just pass them to the ends of the aisles, and we'll pick that up from you. Pastor Clint, I'd like for you to join me, please. Because I believe today, Pastor, a number of people began their journey in knowing the Lord. I believe along that journey, it's been key for me to learn the right things. It's a little bit like reading a roadmap. If you don't know how to read one, you can get lost in a hurry. And I know that God's Word is a GPS for us to live our lives. And there's a class here at the church called Foundations. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because this is for those that want to get the roadmap.
Thank you, Pastor. This is we're starting next week Foundations class. And it's not just for a new believer. It's for the believer that needs just some roots in their life. And We are excited about it. It's a small group atmosphere of about 10 to 15 people that meet back in the pastoral staff room, which is our office of three. And we just get together and get into the foundation teachings of Christianity, of learning what salvation is all about, the spiritual maturity of a believer and what that looks like, of what the baptism, water baptism, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what's that all about? It's, and we try to demystify that which can be mysterious here in a service. And so these are things that we go over, and we want to invite you at the end of the service to go back there. Daryl and Seth Yance are going to be manning a table. And if you have any questions, if you want to just come and check it out, just try it. If you're a member of the church, if you're a member of the body of Christ, come back, feel free, because that's a place that you can get connected with leaders and people in the church that can help you along this journey. Because like Pastor said, sometimes it can be confusing if you're just not into the GPS system. And so that's what we try to do, is try to simplify the word, get some foundations in our life. And it's an awesome thing for me as a teacher, man, to get those foundations is awesome. It's really been eye-opening for me as a pastor here at this church to really just simplify my walk with Christ all over again. So we want to welcome you to that class. Man, come back there, check it out, and get some more information.
Thank you, Pastor Clint.
Thank you.
What a